Welcome back to the Doorcast, created and hosted by Liam Doerr, with associate producers Anne Muljit Singh, Nick Mays, and Dan Kalerjian. This podcast is brought to you by Captivate and found on all major platforms, especially Spotify. And welcome back to the Doorcast. Today we have a very special guest, someone from my past, from my short stint in Maryland at Loyola. She has been a friend for, God, almost 5 years now, though we actually haven't seen each other in those 5 years. Welcome to the cast, live from Rhode Island, Sophia Barr.
Now your personality is based off of whatever TikTok blows up at the moment.
Dude, it's crazy. I did not expect my TikTok to blow up the way it did.
Your one office one blew up, then you kind of ran with that. Now the Gatsby one, you're running with that.
I can't quantify what's going to blow up. You know, I made one about having a Lululemon mask before Lululemon released the masks.
And then people flipped out.
That got something like 900,000 likes. And then I made another one about like movies, and people love that, and people love the Gatsby one. It's like once every 2 months I post something that's really well received, and then I don't get any recognition for the next 2 months.
There's no pattern.
There's no way to quantify unless you're Charli D'Amelio or Addison Rae. Mm.
It's like, yeah, it's actually crazy. Like that's like, it's and like there's so many different factors. Like it's not just if people like it or comment. It's like if people watch a whole video or like at what point they start scrolling or like.
Just keeping them engaged the whole time. I actually had a great experience. I met two pretty famous TikTokers at the bar a few weeks ago.
Can you disclose their names?
Yes, I will actually, because it's free clout for them. So I was talking to one of my friends, and the first guy that shows up, Sally Slices.
I don't know.
Okay, so there's this Italian guy from Philly, and he posted this video a while back.
Is he like a really aggressive cook?
No, he's not aggressive at all. He's like a really nice guy. Took a photo with me and everything. Really sweet dude. He's actually in Italy right now. But so he did this TikTok when he first started out to the Saturday Night Fever theme song. And he's walking through the streets, I think of New York or maybe Philadelphia. And he basically walks by a corner and there's like a Domino's delivery boy shoving a Domino's pizza in some dude's face like it's a mugging. And Sally Slices kicks the Domino's pizza out of his hand and goes like, the pizza that people have been, that these corporations have been selling you, it's not real pizza. They care more about a profit than the ingredients. I'm out to change that. I'm Sally Slices. Or something like that.
Oh, and, wow.
Yeah, something along those lines. I don't think that's his actual, like, that's what he said, but it's along those lines. And he blew up, and then he just keeps making these videos. He's so Italian. Like, it's insane how Italian he is. You should have seen him roll up with his squad. It's pretty crazy.
It rivaled the Jersey Shore cast, who you also met.
Well, I have met a few of them. I don't have anything negative to say about the guys, but the one girl I met, it's not a good experience. But she's going to remain nameless. But there's only four of them, so.
What do you think she's going to find this podcast and sue you?
Yeah, I think so. I'll talk about how great Mike the situation is, how fantastic Pauly D was, and how Danny actually offered me a job and gave me a nickname.
I'm a Pauly D gal, so.
Yeah, he tried to steer me in the morally correct direction. I used the word dick in front of him. And he goes, yo, you're too young to be saying words like that. Your father's right over there. What are you doing?
What a classy gentleman.
He was classy. He was really classy.
That's a Rhode Island guy. Rhode Island guy for you.
I forgot. I said you're live from Rhode Island. That's true. But yeah, and then Mike was amazing. He has such a great personality. And this was right before he went to prison. he was very talkative with me. He was in a good mood. But yeah, one of the girls on the shore that I met two summers back was just not a nice person. Just super dismissive, very rude, and she's going to remain nameless.
That sucks.
Yeah, it's a bummer. But then the other TikToker, the other famous – actually, I met another famous person. This guy – have you ever seen those TikToks by a guy named – he's a very handsome dude, Andrea Angiolila – Angiolillo. Lilo.
The name sounds familiar.
And he does the TikToks where it's like he talks about AMC or here, I'll show you a picture of him.
No, but is he famous? Is he in something?
He is. He's in like TV shows, yeah. And like commercials. But he has a pretty famous TikTok about like AMC and Jeff Bezos or whatever, and I met him. And then another, are you a Barstool follower?
Not a huge fan, but yeah, I know the
I met Glenny Balls.
Okay, no, I don't know.
and Johnny Smokes, Joey Smokes.
Okay, yeah, that name sounds more familiar, but I'm not a big Barstool gal.
And then, yeah, it was a crazy night. That night, I committed myself to Kelly. You know Kelly Keegs?
No.
That was the night where I committed myself to becoming famous on the internet.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, what a night.
Late December back in 63. No, it really
was.
It was
a very special time for you.
I told you the story behind that song, right? When I went to Marist.
Maybe.
I'll tell you that story after we're done recording. I'll let whoever's listening just guess. But it's a pretty good story. It's not appropriate for a podcast.
Oh. Here's a little fun fact for you. My boyfriend's dad is actually viral on TikTok as well.
No way. What does he do?
He makes videos about his record collection.
That's pretty cool.
He goes, "Stop your scrolling. You've landed on my record collection."
Stop your scrolling. You've landed on my record collection. That's sick. Does he just do a review of every record he has?
Yeah, so he literally has a giant record collection. Like, giant. Like probably over 1,000 records. He just makes videos talking about them.
Stop your scrolling.
You've landed upon G. Hutner's record collection.
That's G. Hutner. Ladies and gentlemen, go to G. Hutner on TikTok.
And his primary audience is like girls like 14 to like 23. And they're all like, "Can you adopt me, LOL?" And he like responds to every single comment. And he's like, glad you're liking my TikToks.
No way. That's kind of my audience too, though.
It's like all like people who like may have heard of some of the older music, but like aren't totally familiar.
Oh, they've seen a PacSun Ramones or Guns N' Roses t-shirt before. And they're like, "Hey, why do I recognize that?" And they've heard like Paradise. They've heard like one classic rock song from a Thor movie or something. That makes sense.
Right. Or like, they're like, "Who are the Pixies?"
Yikes. Who are the Pixies?
A band that G. Hutner loves. You have to check out his record collection to find out more.
Maybe he and I can meet up, a creator's link up.
He would love that.
He probably would.
The first time I met him, immediately the first thing he wanted to do was show me his set.
His set? Like his drum set?
No, his like set where he films the TikToks. But
he has a whole set devoted to just his records and TikToks.
The set is literally just his basement with a ring light.
That's great.
And like all the records behind him.
His basement. That's amazing. I'm going to have to follow him. But amazing. Only if he follows back.
He's going to say like, "Oh, there's just too many. There's just too many."
How many followers does he have?
A decent amount. I mean, how many do you have?
I have almost 10,000.
Oh, yeah. He blew you out of the water.
Yeah, he probably did. Hey, listen, it's not easy for a mediocre looking dude to get famous on TikTok.
He has 82,000 followers.
Jesus, he's probably getting paid.
He doesn't know how to.
He's not in the creator fund? He's got to do that, man. He might be able to quit his job as a, is he like a librarian or something?
No, he was actually a newspaper editor.
I was close.
Pretty close. Speaking of TikTok viral people, a girl from Loyola who, I can say her name, you can edit it out, and she's totally viral on TikTok as a Harry Potter stan account.
Like this is like a fan of Harry Potter?
No. I mean, yeah, but like too far.
Like, are my Gatsby TikToks on par with her?
No.
Or does she blow me out of the water?
Like, you don't hold a candle.
That's not good. I don't put so much effort in my TikTok. So that means that she's putting some serious concerted effort in my
TikTok. Serious effort. Her whole, like, focus and goal in life is to like shift.
What does that mean?
It's a mindset. I don't know. I learned all about this from her, but it's like a mind state where you can like shift into like a different universe. It's to like, so she can shift to like be with Draco Malfoy.
Anyway, I'm just going to go ahead and move us on. I'm just going to kind of, after that
I one, recommend checking it out though for a laugh. It's insane.
I'm just going to completely, I don't even have a natural transition to anything. I'm just going to pivot from there. I don't really know how to go from someone trying to manifest being in another universe. Like, I try to get deep enough on this podcast. That's too deep for me. He's the bad guy. He's the whole,
like, once again, girls like bullies.
Yo, see, isn't that some bullshit?
No one wants Harry.
Isn't that some bullshit? I went through a Superman phase at Marist. You know what? It sucked. Nobody liked me.
No.
I mean, they did not like me. It's just like I tried to be nice to everybody.
It's like, and no one liked me.
No one. It just blows up in your face. You try to be this like sweet, kind dude, and everybody's just like,
ew. Everyone's like, yeah, like what the fuck?
Ew. Dude, it's insane. I guess we can talk about TikTok again. Just do you watch my TikToks?
I do watch your TikToks.
Because I'm like, I go through phases with TikTok where in 1 week I say to myself, like, this is it. This is the week I become TikTok famous. And the next week I'll wake up on Monday and be like, I hate TikTok. I never want to go on TikTok again. TikTok sucks.
I just like make video. Like, I don't make videos. I just like watch them.
Yeah. There's a lot of like ghost viewers, ghost likers on TikTok. It's, I don't know what the future of the platform is going to be. It's just Vine. It's literally just Vine.
They added that new 3-minute feature. I'm not crazy
about. Who has the time? Nobody has the time.
No. That's the point of a TikTok, because it's supposed to be short.
Yeah, a minute is arguably too long.
Yeah, I would argue that.
So let's do a little pivot here. We've been talking about me at Loyola for a good chunk of this time. And as much as I love the referendum on 18-year-old Liam, who does deserve to get beaten up, like, easily. I think that ROTC
kid... We've dropped the name a couple of times.
Yeah, I know. But I think that ROTC kid should have beaten me up once or twice.
I think he tried to.
I think he did too, but he probably would have gotten in some trouble. Those Loyola police, or not, the Loyola, like, student affairs people were very tough. I had a few run-ins with them myself.
They, like, weren't, though.
They were tough on me. I'll tell you off camera the experience I had, but it was not a good one.
I mean, I believe that.
It had to do with someone who was in our nook.
But I know.
Oh, you remember that time? Okay. That's absurd. Shenanigans. Just the worst. I even said to them, like, I'm transferring colleges in a month. Is this worth your time?
I remember this is like one of the most like fucked up things. I used to like when he wasn't there, like I was for the podcast listeners, like best friends with his roommate, and this other kid would go home every weekend and I would sleep in his bed.
Yeah. I got in trouble for sitting on his bed.
With the Beyonce tapestry.
I mean, that's fine. Do what you got to do. But, like, don't get mad if you come into your room and someone's sitting on your bed. You and Emma and Maura and Max would always sit on my bed. It wasn't a problem. It was jokes on you guys. I didn't wash those sheets once the entire time I was there.
Are you kidding?
And I had strep and, like, a fever twice. So those were some janky sheets.
That's gross.
It is pretty gross.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I should probably cut that, but I'm not gonna. So let's do a little unnatural pivot. And we've been talking so much about my experience. That 4 months felt like 10 years.
It did.
Felt like I was in an asylum. But anyway, I might have been. But going back to it, I mean, I'm assuming that over those 4 years, it wasn't all sunshine and rainbows for you. I'm assuming you probably like went through some stuff, lost some friends, got those friends back, had some troubles with other people. It wasn't the perfect experience?
No, I mean, of course. It was freshman year academically was really difficult for me. My biggest regret of college, if that's what you're asking, is taking statistics. That kind of fucked me. I took it because I did it in high school and I was like, it's fine. Not a math person, not a science person, did it. And then ended up coming out with a D. And then that kind of ripple effect from first semester freshman year, much like you had, Liam, it caused me not to be able to go abroad throughout my college experience, like first semester. And that really hurt me. And that was one of the turning points in my, it was like college time was like, wow, like some things really do suck and some things are really unfair and like not working hard actually fucked me over. Whereas like in other situations, I would kind of felt like I might get away with something
Sure.
or I could work my way or like talk my way out of it. And that was like a kind of like slap in the face, I guess. I mean, I was lucky enough to end up having gone, but
Oh,
for a month,
your summer in Rome.
my summer in Rome.
Oh God, those, I remember those FaceTimes. That was a very
It was
interesting
interesting.
time for you. No, you really blossomed as a person in
I
that
think I did.
little month. You came out of your shell a big amount.
I was just like a nervous wreck. And then I wasn't all of a sudden. I was like, I conquered like a major anxiety for me, I guess, in that 1 month. Like it sounds silly, but it's true. And I don't know. I still am a nervous wreck, but better now.
You're a teacher, aren't you?
I was subbing this year. And
Okay.
now I'm in charge of 18 friends at camp every day.
18 friends. Are they 18-year-olds or they're just good friends?
No, 18, 9-year-old friends.
Your friends. Are they friends with
I mean,
all of each other?
I'm getting paid to be their friend.
Okay. You're not just friends with them because they're cool.
No, of course not. Ew.
All right. Well, the way you put that, I'm in charge of 18 friends. It's just a weird way
What do we
of
call our
putting
campers? We
things.
call them
You
friends.
can't just call them camper.
Well, that just seems insincere, impersonal.
I used to work at a Cub Scout camp. I think I called them like scout.
That just gives you the heebie-jeebies.
I quit 3 days in the summer before I left for Loyola.
Yeah, because that has a weird connotation.
What, calling them scout?
No, we're gonna Cub Scout camp.
I don't think so. I mean, I worked there for like 4 years. It was great until I quit and they burnt me an effigy.
What?
Yeah, they burnt me an effigy. Dude, I don't want the Cub Scouts coming after me.
Yeah, I feel like they're worse than Uncle Sam.
So I think they've got some things they need to deal with, actually. But
I think
anyway,
so
just
too.
circling back to you in Rome, things like that. If you had the opportunity, right? Young Sophia, let's say 18 years old. You know what? Even more specific scenario. I had just left, and obviously you guys were all heartbroken. You had a mourning
Heartbroken.
ceremony, I'm assuming. And
We actually had a
you
memorial service for you in the Loyola Chapel,
see, I don't doubt that.
where we burned one of your Superman shirts and then scattered the ashes across campus.
Is that where that went?
Yes, that is where it went.
Anyway, and you could go back right now. You at, what are you, 30 now? You,
31.
congratulations. You don't look a day over 40.
Thank you.
You could go back to your 18-year-old self and like shake her by the shoulders and be like, this is what you need to know for all the coming years. And you have like 30 seconds to a minute to get across the message that you want to get across to young you, like the one paramount thing that you wish you knew. What is it?
I don't think about this specific question a lot, but I think about this like theme a lot is like I just said, I'm a nervous wreck and I would take myself and I'd say, listen, I know everything seems like the biggest deal in the world, but it's not, and you're okay. Like it's gonna be okay. It will work itself out. Things will happen. Things will not go as you want them to, but you will be okay. And in 1 week, 1 year, 10 years, you're not gonna remember the stuff that went bad. You're gonna remember the stuff that went good. So just try to focus on that. That's what I would say, I think.
I like that. But then what do you think 18-year-old you would say?
Ew.
Why? Okay, that's a bummer.
No, I don't think. I think I'd be like, wait, really?
Do you think you would at that time have been receptive to it?
I think so, because I think it was like, I mean, it's a tough time. Like, you're just adjusting to your new life and you're like starting to get comfortable in college and stuff. And I just think it would be nice to hear from someone who like wasn't your mom, like, things will work out for you. Like, it'll be okay.
It'd be you saying it. Right. It's one thing for you to say something, but it's another thing to literally just see yourself in years to come and be like, oh, I'm still here. Like, that's good. I made it. I'm alive.
And I think I would also say like, don't let your anxiety like control you. Like, you're like, worrying isn't going to fix anything. So stop.
That's fair.
Oh, you're sad. Just be happy. Duh.
You just cheer up.
And also I tell myself, make sure that you refill all of your prescriptions on time before they expire so you don't go crazy.
Yeah, that's true. You got to take your multivitamins.
My special vitamins, yeah.
You got to take those, your fish oils and your zinc and your GNC Mega Men's.
And my Wellbutrin.
Something like that. Your amoxicillins when you get sick.
Ritalins.
Bro, I have a crazy Ritalin or Adderall story from Marist.
I wasn't abusing them. I needed them.
I wasn't subscribed to them.
Subscribed?
I wasn't prescribed. I wasn't prescribed.
Like, comment subscribe down below. You want Ritalin.
I didn't like or comment or subscribe to Ritalin.
You liked.
I liked twice, actually. Twice in like 2 hours. That was the problem. I liked the video too many times. You see, I really don't think that if I went back to Liam at Loyola, he would have been receptive. I don't really know. And I'm tempted to say something really douchey, like, dude, you're so much better looking than you think you are. Go out there.
That is gross.
That is freshman year Liam. No. I don't know. I think whatever I would have said, I wouldn't have been receptive to it till I turned probably 19 or 20. I don't think 18-year-old Liam would even be ready to hear the things that I wish I told him. Like, honestly, and I say this with all the love to who I used to be, because that's like who I am now, or the reason I am who I am now, I wouldn't have said a thing to him. I would have kicked the shit out of him for a minute. I wouldn't have given him any advice. I would have come back and I would have beat the shit out of 18-year-old Liam for a minute straight. And then for the next, I'm 23 now, so 18 to 23, for the next 5 years, that version of me would just be like, okay, I did something really, really bad between 18 to 25, so I have to make sure everything's right. I have to do everything correctly.
I think it would, either way, if that happened, it would be like the That's So Raven effect. Like, she saw the future, tried everything she could to make it happen or not happen, and then because she did those things to avoid or manifest what happened, it ended up happening. Does that make sense?
No, that's possible. I one of the earlier interviews I had was with one of my friends from Marist. She's this amazing, brilliant woman. She lives in the city. She goes to Columbia, I think. And she said that if you knew what was going to happen to you in the years to come, and you could go back from a certain point and live your life knowing what's going to happen, you would feel like you were living off script and that you were an actor in your own life.
Yeah.
Because you knew you wouldn't want to change the things that you did because you know what the script is.
Right.
But it's a weird concept, but it does ring true. And 99% of people that I talk to, both on the podcast and outside the podcast, if I say to them that you could potentially jump back into your body at 19, 20, 21, however young or old you want to be, and start living life from that point with all the memories you've made, would you do it? They all say no.
I think I would want to.
I feel like I would want to also.
I would want to do it exactly as I did it. Like, even the shitty parts, I'd be like, well, it was fun. Not the bad parts, obviously, but I'd be like, the good outweighed the bad, so let me just, I want to get back to where I started. Yeah. So,
but would in knowing those memories happened, would they not be as powerful?
Can I give you? No, I think
Can I
Even
give
more
you
so the second time around, right?
a fun Liam Dore anecdote?
Sure.
When I was a kid, I was like fifth grade, maybe fourth grade. My dad took me to the batting cages. It was a great day. We had so much fun. And on the way home, we stopped for Burger King. No, McDonald's. And I didn't want any burgers or fries. I wanted a McDonald's apple pie. And he got two for himself and two for me. And Sophia, I don't know why, but to this day, they were the best thing I've ever eaten. And so I said to him, you know what we have to do? We have to get two more apple pies each. And we did. And guess what?
Not as good.
Not as good.
Because you just eaten two apple pies, they probably felt sick.
No, it was because we had this special moment. We had
Oh
this,
yeah, of
it
course.
was this
I'm kidding.
perfect, it was this perfect thing. And then we tried to do it again.
Yeah, that's very like that seems very like scripted.
What, me and dad getting apple pies after playing baseball?
Yeah, seems like something I would read like in, was it Campbell's Soup for the Soul or whatever?
Soup for the Soul. No, it was great. Don McLean played American Pie. Brett Favre was there in Wrangler jeans. We were in the pickup truck. It was great. No, this is a true story, actually. And we've used this as an anecdote for years to describe why you should never redo things that are amazing or try to redo things that are amazing.
Don't know. I think it's like, I look at it as if I was able to redo things, it'd be like watching a movie the second time, like you know what's gonna happen, but then you notice things that you didn't notice the first time around. You can
Because you
pay
don't have to
closer
focus on the
attention.
main plot. I guess that, yeah, that does make sense. And trust me, there are things that I wish I could go back and live again. There are moments. I mean, if I could go back to Florence in junior year of college, that 4 months, 5 months, whatever, I'd do it all over again. And I'd probably make a lot of different decisions if I knew the outcome. And the outcome would probably be different. But then again, there are so many other memories that just were perfect. And I don't want to shift them. I don't want to do anything to alter them. I don't want to shift the sands of time enough that I don't have something as impactful.
I also think there's like that like kismet, is that what it's called? Like, I don't know, maybe that's the wrong word. Like fate, like serendipity.
Yeah.
Like even if like someone's paths don't align at one point, if like time changed and like blah blah blah, like if your paths are meant to cross, they'll cross. Even if you
No,
didn't meet
it's.
them at that point.
Yeah. No, it's crazy how people in your life kind of fade out for a while but come back in. Not to sound like a sociopath, he says right before he's about to sound like a sociopath. But sophomore year of college, I was actively trying to treat my life like it was a sitcom.
That is like the least surprising thing you could ever say to me.
So what I would do is, aside from like looking off at fake cameras when someone said something silly, okay, that wasn't, that only happened a few times,
A few hundred times.
but when I would feel bad about someone who wasn't my life anymore, I would think about how at one point they were a regular on my show and then they had to go away and they might come back and be a guest star, or they might come back and stay on for a while, but then they'll go away. Or I thought of my close friends, and they're like, right now they're the main cast, but once in a while the cast is shifted, or you meet new people, or the
Or they get
studio,
recasted.
or they get recast, and things like that. And it was actually super cathartic. It's a cathartic way of thinking. It really was.
I
Because
really like that. I really like that, but in the same vein,
it's a little
I'm
crazy.
cringing a little bit
Oh.
because I feel like that's something I would see a TikTok of like, wait, guys, I was today years old when I thought of my life and my friends as the main cast in the
Check that out on my TikTok tomorrow.
show.
I did something similar, and we do need to wrap this up soon because I have work tomorrow.
I do too. I have
I
to. I have a 15-hour workday tomorrow.
have a 9:30 in the morning meeting.
I have to meet
So
my friends at 7:45.
your friends, your 18 friends. So when I was 20, I was abroad in Italy, and for the first 2 weeks, I was feeling so lost. I was feeling completely like I wasn't connecting with people. I wasn't understanding the culture. And by any chance, did you know that I'm a big fan of an independent film called Star Wars?
This is news to me, but thank you for sharing this.
You didn't know I was a big Star Wars fan?
No kidding.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm a huge Star Wars fan. And so what I did, and this is another, this is similar to like the treat everything like you're on a sitcom almost, is I treated my life like I was a character in a Star Wars movie on a planet full of people that didn't speak the same language as me, but some did. And the reason I did that was so it didn't feel like such a big like transition. I know this sounds weird.
It's like a little kiddish almost.
It really was. And I actually almost
like
talked
in a
to,
sweet way.
I almost talked to my favorite Star Wars podcasters about it, but I didn't get picked for the call in.
That's so sad.
It's so bad. But no, it works. And I think a lot of people, you know, we talk about going back in time and changing things. We talk about what we would have said to our younger selves. People come up with devices to help them in weird situations, be it thinking you're in a sitcom or pretending you're in Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, before the men in white suits come to cart me off to a room with a padded room or like a padded cell.
Wait, I have one more question for you before you go.
Yes.
It just like a couple months ago, I saw like a tweet or TikTok or something that was like, I need to start thinking of myself as the main character. And it's like, I have always thought of myself as the main character. Like, I am the main character, and no one can tell me otherwise. Like, I do you think that about yourself?
I did not start doing that until 6 months ago.
Maybe it's because I'm a astrology girl. I'm a Leo. Aries moon, Scorpio rising. Anyone out there?
Yo, there's a scorpion on the moon. Who put it there?
Me. But I'm like, I am the main character. Like, people care about me.
Yeah. And that's a great mentality. And I think that so many people bastardize what that mentality means.
Yeah.
Because what I see a lot of people doing is they say, I'm the main character, and use that as a justification for being a dick.
Yeah.
This is main character energy. No, Becky, you just bullied a girl. That's not main character energy.
Literally.
You're just being terrible. Or, you know.
You're just being a narcissist.
That's literally it. And it's fine to be the main character because you are the only driver in your life. And no, that is something I didn't actually know for 4 years. You know, I enjoyed my time in college. I enjoyed my younger years, whatever. But there was always this feeling in the back of my head that I was in the car that is my own life, but I'm not in the driver's seat. I feel like I'm taking a back seat and watching this stuff happen. And it took till about New Year's 2021. Because that was like,
wow.
The trajectory of COVID for me was weird because it actually, life was pretty fine for me until around the fall-ish and things just like plummeted. And I was like, all right, I have to do something to get out of this hole. And I started thinking to myself, like, I should start doing things that I want to do.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy because you need to prioritize yourself. And like I said, prioritizing yourself is not justification for just being a total knob. But yeah, no, I applaud that you've known that you've been the main character in your entire life for so long. But I think
it's just that I read a lot as a kid, and like the characters in the books are always like I me me me. So I'm like, yeah. I me me me.
But I think a lot of people, either consciously or subconsciously, don't feel like the main character in their own life. And I'll give you an example. Have you ever seen a group of dudes, like college guys, young guys, or whatever, and you can immediately pick out the leader?
Yeah, always. Okay.
So I'm
or you can pick out like the funny one like right away.
See, by that logic, by that mental association, you can do that, but so can the group of friends. And so lot of people in that group are thinking to themselves, like, Brad over here is the main character, I'm just like his friend, you know. And that's,
yeah,
you know, I think that's dangerous for, I mean, dangerous is a weird word for it, but it's not good for young people, I say as a 23-year-old. It's not good for young people to be taking these backseats in their lives. And I don't know if it's something generational, but it's prevalent. I've seen a lot of people do it. I've done it myself. I did it myself for all of my early 20s until this point. And it sucks. It really does suck. You know, we talk about me at Loyola. We talk about that all the decisions I made were calculated. Everything that I did.
You were very calculated.
Oh, I was so calculated. Because you're not the main character, so what are you doing? You're playing a role in someone else's life, and you're hoping that that role is approved by everybody else.
Yeah, and no one wants to be like the quirky best friend. Like,
But it
you want
sucks.
to be the Beanie Feldstein, and you want to be fucking Saoirse Ronan in Lady Bird.
I didn't understand any of that, but yeah, you want to be Kanye and not Kanye's friend.
Basically.
I'm sorry, that was the only that I don't I, and I never saw Lady Bird.
You would enjoy it, actually. It's a very sweet coming of age story.
That's with Timothée Chalamet, right?
Timothy Charl Sh Champagne, my favorite.
Timothy Cumberbatch. All right, we're gonna wrap it, but in summation, I think we're gonna probably go with what are the three things we're gonna take away from this? Go.
That one, I do miss talking to you a lot. We talk here and there, but I feel like not enough. Two, I would go back in time and I would do things over again the same way because I had a lot of fucking fun. And three, just like a nice little reminder that, things don't always work out and there's lots of different people in your life and different avenues you can take, but you can make it work. Like you said, like pretend you're in your own world or your own movie and just try to disassociate once in a while, I guess.
Yeah, a little bit of healthy disassociation. Not the worst thing in the world.
Not the worst thing. Always try. You're the main character. That's it.
You are the main character. You're the one driving the Batmobile. The
I'm the
Batmobile's
main
not
character.
driving you. Well, everybody's
In my
you in your own sphere. You are the center of your own universe. Yeah, that's the most important thing. That's paramount. Not a
As
lot of people know
Christina
about that.
Grey, as Christina Grey, Christina Yang said to Meredith Grey, "You are the sun."
Who's that?
I literally haven't watched Grey's Anatomy since I was 13.
I
So.
literally haven't watched Grey's Anatomy.
Wow.
Yeah, sorry.
That was like a stupid little quote anyway, but center of the universe, the
Yeah,
sun.
you are the center of the universe. You are in charge of your life and only your life. You can only push people or, pull them in different directions, but at the end of the day, you're the one making the decisions. You are the main character. Don't use it to justify being a dick, but use it to remember that you get one life and you should damn well enjoy it.
I agree completely.
Well, this has been great. Thanks so much for coming on. Do you
Thank
have any
you.
plugs, anything you want to shout out, anyone from your life you want to give a howdy do to?
It's like on Hot Ones when it's like, all right, this camera, this camera, this camera. Tell the people what you have going on. You ever watch
Yeah,
that?
I have
I love
watched
Hot
Hot
Ones.
Ones, man.
No, nothing. If anyone knows of a communications job, specifically writing or journalism, hit me up. If anyone has any connects, I would greatly appreciate that. I could give you some writing samples. Other than that, I'm just chilling. Just living my life and hopefully some fun things coming up. Not like things for you to check out, but for myself.
All right. Well, thanks so much for coming on. Have a good night.
Thanks, you too. Bye.
Bye.